Welcome to the Tate Talks podcast.
This podcast has been very kindly sponsored by JumpCloud for MSPs. JumpCloud for MSPs provides managed service providers a platform for delivering modern IT services that are identity-centric, cloud-native, and vendor-agnostic.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Tate Talks. Thanks for joining us today, where I had a great chat with Mikey Pruitt, who is the MSP Community Evangelist at DNS Filter. Hope you enjoy. Hi, Mikey. How are you doing? Welcome to Tate Talks. It's great to see you again.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Chris. I've seen a few of these, and I'm a little nervous about bearing my soul to the audience.
Well, hopefully it's not going to be too in-depth, but bear as much as you like. But before we get going, could you maybe tell us a little bit about yourself or people in the channel that don't know you, a little bit about you personally?
Sure. My name is Mikey Pruitt. I'm currently the MSP Evangelist at DNS Filter. I would say I probably have a unconventional path to where I'm at right now. My family owns an electrical contracting company. So the early parts of my life were spent as an electrician. So I'm like a fully licensed master electrician. I live in coastal South Carolina. So that's kind of the area we serviced. But all during that, I would do web development projects on the side, even had a job a time or two doing web development. And, just kind of doing both of those things simultaneously. And then I one time got the opportunity to meet one of the co-founders at DNS Filter, actually through doing electrical stuff. And we had like a kind of a emerging tech scene here where I live in near Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and met him through that because, you know, there's not a lot of tech people around here. This is a very hospitality focused area of the world. So it was really interesting to meet him and some others that had, you know, tech interests. And I was already in the process of like fully automating my web development business. So someone would ask me for a website and a couple clicks on the command line and their website would be done. And, you know, a few more clicks and I would have the everything they needed to get going and, you know, do some minor manual tweaking and kind of had that fully automated. And I was kind of showing it off to one of the DNS Filter co-founders and we got to talk and then we became friends. And one day I actually met Ken Carnesi, who is the CEO of DNS Filter in this guy's attic. So Ken was he was building a new house and Ken was in the attic running network wires. And I was in the attic running electrical wires for both of our friends and met Ken in the attic. And that was pretty funny. But then, you know, fast forward like a year or two later, he asked me to come work at DNS Filter. And, you know, basically I said, no, thanks. And then he let me know the compensation package and all that. And I was like, okay, let me rethink this. So yeah, that's when I came on board DNS Filter. And I've been here for about 4.5 years now. But yeah, did a lot of things in my life. I've lived in Hawaii for about 5 years. I liked surf and appreciate the ocean and boating and fishing and anything around saltwater is where you'll find me most times.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, so obviously very, very sort of water-based. And that's covered the next couple of questions, actually, which is, that's definitely fascinating in terms of your career history there. No, I don't think I've spoken to anyone that's come to this from an electrician background. So you're certainly unique in that respect. And obviously that's, you got into the MSP space via DNS Filter. So you say you've been there 4.5 years. I mean, how has your role changed over that time?
Yeah, like significantly. So when I started, I was working as a DevOps engineer, the first DevOps engineer at DNS Filter. I was deploying our global Anycast network and it really translated very easily from what I was doing in my personal web development business. Just using Ansible and some other Docker and Kubernetes technologies to spin up servers around the world and do different things with them. And that was really the job description of a DevOps engineer. So that's where I started at. And then about a year or so into that, Ken was really managing the vision of the product like day to day. And he had to kind of step away from that and handle like, you know, be a CEO. So they kind of tapped me to be kind of take on that product role. And I was then the only the first and only product manager, which is challenging to say the least. You know, we have a lot of customers, and DNS Filter started as an MSP. Essentially, Ken was an MSP using a competing product that got purchased by Cisco, and things went south, and he decided to build DNS Filter because of that. So, you know, the role was then kind of passed to me to keep up this momentum that was going on with the MSP community, kind of telling us what their needs were. They're very vocal and very thorough about what they wanted to see DNS Filter become. So we were listening very closely to that community. We were engaging with them, making sure that the things we were building were on the right path. And then, you know, we incorporated several other areas of business, like enterprise customers, small to medium businesses, distributors, embedded systems. So that grew from focusing on MSPs to, you know, having a much larger or more verticals to service. And then it became clear to Ken, you know, since he came from the MSP background, that we needed somebody to really be paying closer attention to MSPs because we were diverting our attention in these multiple areas. So then he asked me again if I would, you know, focus on the MSP businesses and kind of run that same thing I was doing in product, but specifically for MSPs, making sure that their voices are heard and they're getting the resources they need. And that's where I am now as the MSP evangelist.
Well, you learn something new every day. That's why I love to do these podcasts. I didn't know. I didn't know at all that DNS Filter came from an MSP. That's fascinating. So, yeah, always good to find out new information. And that's a path well trodden. I guess many of the successful products we work with in the community have been sort of arisen through MSPs, which I guess is understanding the requirements.
So that's the reason that the MSP community was such a core focus of ours for such a long time. And why Ken wanted us to be to continue to make sure that they were being serviced and heard.
Yeah, amazing. And I think that's probably a good time then, because we've mentioned DNS Filter quite a bit so far, but I'm sure there won't be many, but there may be a few people listening that don't know about DNS Filter. So, I mean, what is it you do in at a sort of high level?
Yeah, so it kind of says it on the tin, you know, DNS filtering. You know, a lot of people do DNS filtering. We consider that we do it the best. We have a in-house machine learning engine that is categorizing the web 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we have proprietary data that our competitors do not. So if you're familiar with DNS filtering in the industry, you'll probably know that a lot of our competition and anyone in the space is ingesting a lot of third-party threat feeds from different vendors. So we ingest those same lists. However, we have our in-house proprietary data that we use to, you know, verify those lists that we get. And we just have a more holistic approach to what is a threat domain? Is this a threat domain? When was it a threat domain? And we just have a lot more data that is unique to DNS Filter.
Cool. And this is a product that MSPs sort of resell to their clients. And sort of, is that how it works?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a... like I said, we focus on multiple verticals, but we do have a multi-tenancy version of our product, and MSPs are well taken care of in that multi-tenancy version. There's like a fully white labelable. So like you can deploy software on your in customer machines that doesn't specify it came from DNS Filter at all. There's no way for them to kind of track back to DNS Filter if you don't want to. A lot of people don't really mind. Some people do. We leave that option up to the MSP.
Cool. Well, that's a great introduction to the product. And I guess if people want more info, I'll put all of your company details and your LinkedIn details into the description of the episode. So they should be below where you are right now. So changing topic slightly, looking about the MSP space in general, we're midway through 2023 at time of recording. I mean, what are the sort of bigger challenges that you see that are facing MSPs or vendors in the back half of 2023 and beyond?
So there's a lot of focus on, well, let me step back. So like I am the type of person that understands like the IT portion of like the MSP business very well. Like I've deployed home and office networks, you know, some large, some small, done different break fix type of stuff. Started working on MSP stuff, but then got hired away to DNS Filter, which worked out really well. But there's, you know, the tech focus is very natural to me. And I assume that's the case for a lot of MSP owners and MSP operators. Now, sometimes when they get larger, they can incorporate other strengths like sales and marketing. And I see that's a lot of a place where, you know, the smaller MSP can struggle and figure out how to sell is just as important as figuring out what to sell. So like, you know, you can take pride in your tech stack and your security, but if you can't explain to someone at a high level why it's important to their business, then you kind of fail in that sense. Like if you can't sell it. And I listen to a lot of, I'm sure most of you have heard of Jennifer Bleem. If you haven't, she's a great resource for selling cybersecurity. But I think sales and marketing is a big challenge. Switching gears to some other challenges I see, there's a lot of focus on AI, and it's kind of like just fast computers, I would say. You know, AI to me seems like a sentient artificial intelligence. So I wouldn't really call the stuff AI that's out there now, like ChatGPT and Midjourney and all these things. And these are just new tools that we can use, but we see a lot of people really concerned about their capabilities and scared really of what they're going to be doing. But I think these are tools to be leveraged just like any other, just like the internet, just like search engines. It's just a new wave of tools that we can utilize. And I think, you know, the AI term is a lot of top of mind for a lot of people right now.
Yeah, it's everywhere. You can't open any kind of article without seeing something about AI. But there you go. But the first point you mentioned was really interesting around sales and sort of marketing effort for MSPs, because it's a bit of a double whammy, because we've seen the two of the bigger challenges that I've seen when speaking to MSPs are around recruitment of staff and around sales. And I guess they struggling to recruit the right salespeople. And also, I'm sure we've all heard tales of hundreds of MSPs that have recruited their first salesperson as a VP of sales or head of sales or something, and then 2 months later parted company because they've not seen the instant results that's the technically minded MSP owner is usually expecting to happen. So I think any kind of education that can go into the market to help MSPs do that, that's going to be super beneficial. And I'm sure that like we do at Jump Cloud, we've got kind of sales certifications. I know that the industry, CompTIA, does a lot in this as well. I guess people like DNS Filter and all of the vendors in the market have got a role to play in this, is to try and give the MSPs the tools to help position and sell our products. Because ultimately, if they sell our products, we're successful as well, right? So it's a sort of two-way relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like an unbiased training that we like to give away. We're not saying like DNS Filter must be in your tech stack. We're saying, you know, craft your tech stack the way it suits your needs. And this is how you sell it. This is the key areas to focus on. This is how you get new leads. This is how you cultivate those leads. This is how you kind of actually close. Like you have to ask them eventually for you know, a commitment, and then get that in writing.
And do you think we're getting better at that, or do you think that's happening? Because we've been doing it a long time. I mean, in my role and previous role, we've been creating tools to help MSPs sell, and we've been creating training courses and all kinds of different things. So is it getting better, do you think?
You know, I think it is getting better, but it's like you say, like probably a lot slower than where we foresaw. And like, I've only been like in cybersecurity for, you know, closing in on 5 years. So, and I, you know, kind of was tangentially an MSP before I started here, but really focused on MSPs for only a couple of years. So I do know the types of people that run MSPs because my dad is one. So like I see my dad every time I talk to an MSP, and they, you know, he's not a salesperson. He's like a genius electrician. So that, you know, he just needs a little bit of help in that area. And I think the help, the way that I think of it is that just be confident in what you know and relay it, like you're, you know, discussing technology or electricity with a five-year-old, you know, and then make the ask. Like you can still be yourself while selling. You know, like I have a personality where, you know, I guess I'm a bit outgoing. I talk to people, you know, it's not frightening to me. So when I engage with a, you know, potential lead or client customer, I'm being myself, I am making them feel comfortable. And luckily I don't do this purposefully, but if that doesn't come naturally to you, then you should take steps to, change those habits into being like, someone that the prospect feels comfortable talking with. You know, you're basically being a consultant, you're educating them in a friendly, you know, fifth grade level sense into what they need to know. And that helps them entrust you with, you know, their business essentially.
Yeah, no, that's great. And this, I think you're spot on with the observation there. It is happening, but it's happening slower. And it's generally around the personas of the owner managers. And it's great for you, I guess, to have your dad as someone that you can visualize when you're thinking of an MSP, because as you think, you know, what would the messaging would work with him? And I guess it would work with a lot of them because they are, I mean, they're all different, obviously, all the MSPs, but there's a certain amount of commonality amongst lots of them. So moving on to the next section. Now, you've already mentioned surfing and being around saltwater in particular. But what else do you kind of get up to outside of work? I mean, or do you listen to audiobooks, read books, podcasts, TV, movies? What do you kind of do to relax when you're not by the water?
Yeah, I do listen to a lot of, oddly, tech-related podcasts and things. I actually listened to your podcast several episodes. I like things like Darknet Diaries that talk about some of the like the red team, blue team type of adventures. Like that stuff's fascinating. I feel like there could be a movie made of each one of those. Also listen to some other like Apple-related podcasts. I'm a bit of an Apple fanboy. but yeah, other than consuming media, my family are really out in the water a lot. Like we live, you know, a golf cart right away from the ocean. So we're there. We have a river nearby, we have inlets. We just basically have a lot of fun outdoors.
Yeah, that sounds great. And interesting on the Apple fanboy thing, because just to pick up on that from an MSP point of view, I mean, JumpCloud are quite Apple-centric in terms of a lot of our product management works with Apple as well as Windows. I think our customer client base is probably around sort of 51% Windows, I believe, and then Mac, and then a very small amount of Linux. But I mean, are you seeing more and more Macs come into the market? It used to be the case, let me phrase that a different way, that I'd see MSPs on Facebook groups and things saying that they don't work with Mac at all. They will kind of, if someone's got Macs, they would pass on the client. I mean, did you still see that happening, or are people beginning to embrace it more?
I see a bit of a challenge there. Like Macs are still not very popular in business, especially like big business. But like when people bring their own devices, they're a lot of times bringing Apple, you know, mobile devices, iPads and iPhones. They don't all have, you know, Mac laptops and desktops, but definitely those mobile devices. And that is a challenge for MSPs managing multiple environments like that. I could definitely get on a soapbox that Mac or something Unix based is much easier to manage, because like you can write a bash script to do almost anything, and it would work cross-platform and multiple systems, even Windows now with the Ubuntu, I forget what they call it, like the subsystem, I believe. So like, you know, Unix is more portable than PowerShell and Windows. So I'm hoping for a future where that unit, the Ubuntu subsystem on Windows becomes the primary, and then the Windows PowerShell sub becomes the secondary. And it's like, you can drop into there if you want to, but the entire world is now Unix based, and we all have like a common set of core utilities that we can work with. Like, I don't know, you said you run a Mac, right, Chris? So do you have a Homebrew on your Mac?
No.
Well, you should look it up. So like Homebrew, for example, is just a package manager, which Mac doesn't really ship with one. So these, the open source community built one, and you can install, you know, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of different software packages with Mac, just like you would on a Linux machine. So you can, I just got a new machine myself. So I got an M2 Mac, the M2 Max, I believe. So it's like super fast. And I have a script that can run and download all the software I need, install it, give myself some specific configurations in certain ones, have my terminal a certain way, change the color of my Slack stuff. You know, all this stuff can run automatically, just like you can do on Windows, but in the Unix land, it's all done via command line with common utilities. I'll step off the soapbox.
I'll look into that. But I was just thinking that Unix is the story of Unix is astonishing. Bear in mind, I did used to work on Unix systems years, probably in the 90s, on sort of different Unix variants when I was programming. And it was kind of then Unix seemed to take a back seat when sort of Windows sort of NT came along and sort of started to push it back. And then I guess with Linux being very Unix-like, and then with Apple adopting Unix for iOS and different things, it sort of made a huge comeback, to the point that I would suspect that a lot of people just, because Unix is different now to it was when I used to use it, certainly, people, generally speaking, outside the industry probably got no idea that their iPhone, for example, is running on Unix, but there right. you go. So it's a fascinating story. Again, it could well be a film, I guess, if someone wants to make the Unix story. I'm sure there's some interesting twists and turns in there. So we've spoken about your career and obviously going through the sort of electrician route. If you were starting again today, would you have gone the same route, or would you have sort of taken a different path somewhere?
I think when I was, really doing electrical work, I was really flirting with MSP type of business processes and installations. So like we were dealing with a lot of like high-end homes and a lot of like small office build outs. And you know, a lot of there's always like an MSP or someone in IT involved, and they would have the electrician like run the wires. And I was like, well, you know, I do know how to do this, so let me learn a little bit more. This is like, you know, mid 2010 or so. So thinking that I already know how to do this, so let me try it. So we did do some of the full build outs for offices and like firehouse subs, like small commercial type of things. And getting a monthly recurring revenue from electrical work was pretty impressive to even my dad, who was like very traditional. And he's like, you know, time and materials, if we do a job, they pay us. And I'm like, yeah, but if we could get them to pay us every month just to be like a consultant, like this is really, this is a game changer. So I was really flirting with that for about 5 or 6 years, but then DNS filter came knocking. So would I do it differently? I think I would have just went full hog into MSP world. Like, I know it's a challenge and it's, you know, really frustrating, but I think it's also really rewarding. Like you're kind of your own boss by default, and you really have autonomy over what you're doing, and you get to help people. So that, I think I would have went full bore into MSP. Maybe still got hired away by DNS filter, though. That part I'm not sure of.
No, that's great. And you just reminded me, actually, that as it's just started raining here after a really hot day, I was thinking about other vendors that have come from MSPs. I remember speaking with, I think, David Bellini, maybe Nani or David, of ConnectWise years and years ago. And they were basically saying that their MSP was was kind of founded and was successful because of the electrical side, because they were kind of putting in surge protection and things, because I'm guessing that sort of the Tampa area, which is where they're based, they've got a kind of lightning problem. And so machines were getting blown all the time. So ConnectWise started their business with the surge protection and then kind of leveraged into an MSP and then created a product to run their MSP, which is now ConnectWise. So I guess that's all another example of a problem that's come from an MSP and now been solved. So that's really interesting.
A lot of MSPs get started that way. Like think of the guy who like does printers or, you know, door locks or whatever, you know, and they get a little bit more advanced. And then they're like, oh, then everybody sees that sweet recurring revenue and they get lured in. I'll tell you a funny story about lightning. When I was doing electrical work, this giant house, I think it must have been sitting on an iron plate or something, because every summer this house would get struck by lightning at least once. And we had to replace all the TVs, all the cable boxes, all the network equipment. And one day the homeowner came to us and was like, I saw on television that this other competing electrical business has like a guarantee from lightning. And I was on the phone with her and I was like, well, you need to call them right now. She's like, really? It's like, you don't want this business? We're like, no, there's no protection from lightning. I'm sorry.
No, that would be a particularly cool piece of kit. And I'm thinking lightning is going to come here. We've had an uncharacteristically warm few days for the UK, I think. And we've been warned we're going to get a storm and it looks like it's coming. So which saves watering the garden, I guess. So onto the final question, and you can just say buy more Macs if you like, but which is perfectly acceptable, but we're speaking to mainly MSPs there. So you're an MSP, you work with MSPs, you speak with MSPs daily as part of your role. What kind of tip would you offer to MSPs to help them be more successful?
I think one of the most important things, other than, you know, really try with sales and marketing, is to get like a peer group, people maybe near you in your geolocation or even just online. Like I know if you go to like certain communities on the internet, the MSPs seem a little bit aggressive or, dangerous at sometimes, but they're the ones I've met are like so friendly, so willing to help and just be there for each other. Like, oh, what are you using for this? What are you using for that? How did you get these type of employees? How did you get these type of customers? Like, go to the events, reach out to other MSPs. They're all willing to help from what I've seen, and they can really elevate your game, because you're going to definitely meet someone who is at a level where you want to be, and you can progress towards that, and they can, you know, be a coach, a mentor of sorts, and then they're progressing as you're progressing, and then other people can come in and, you know, mix and match and just learn from each other. And I've seen that is highly encouraged, even though from the outside it may not look that way. Like if you're trying to do this on your own, just reach out to other MSPs. They're mostly not concerned with taking business away from each other. Obviously, you know, I'm sure personal things happen and all that stuff, but, you know, they're very welcoming, very helpful, and willing to share work and even collaborate sometimes. So that would be my biggest suggestion.
Yeah. And I think that's one that is probably one of my favorite tips, because I would wholeheartedly agree. My MSP was grown doing that, going to different peer groups, going to events. I learned about lots of new products at events. I'm at a CompTIA meeting in the UK this week. I often attend sort of peer groups on, ConnectWise Evolve or Tech Tribe or whatever, plus all the online communities on Facebook. And I find them, you know, by and large, to be quite friendly places. I guess Reddit's maybe not quite as friendly sometimes, but no, I agree. I think getting involved with these people is sort of super useful and a great tip. So with that, I'll let you get on with your day. Thanks so much for joining us today, Mikey. It's been great to catch up. And as I mentioned before, I'll put up your details in the chat below. But thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Chris. It was a pleasure.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
So that's it. Thanks for listening to Tate Talks today. We'll see you next time. Goodbye.
This podcast has been very kindly sponsored by Jump Cloud for MSPs. Jump Cloud for MSPs provides managed service providers a platform for delivering modern IT services that are identity-centric, cloud-native, and vendor-agnostic. Using Jump Cloud's Open Directory platform, MSPs can iteratively replace point solutions by unifying device, identity, and access management. To learn more, please visit jumpcloud.com/MSP or email the team at partners@jumpcloud.com.